and welcome back to The Bill Bao Effect, the podcast series that asks, can culture boost economic development? In this episode, we're off to southern Poland, to a place that has come to be known as the City of Music, Katowice. Unlike quaint, picturesque Krakow, only 70 kilometers away, Katowice and the surrounding region of Upper Silesia was the industrial heartland of communist Poland. After the fall of the Berlin Wall and the Polish government's move to liberalize its economy, the coal mines were closed down in the mid-1990s. There was then a considerable push to bring about urban regeneration, with the government setting up a special economic zone to attract investments from foreign businesses. Coal production was replaced by car manufacturing. As the post-industrial city evolves ever more, many are still working to repurpose old mining and ironwork sites in Katowice for business and leisure. On a former coal mine, there now sits a cultural quarter in the city centre, with an art museum, a concert hall, and an international congress centre which hosted COP24, the UN's climate conference, in 2018. Central to this story of cultural regeneration is the Polish National Radio Symphony Orchestra and its concert hall, which reopened in 2014. Built with the help of Nagata Acoustics Studio from Japan, it is renowned for having some of the best acoustics in Europe and indeed the world. Coal, it seems, has also been replaced with symphonies. With me to discuss Katowice today is the director of the Polish National Radio Symphony Orchestra herself, Ewa Bogosz-Moore. Ewa, welcome to the Bill Bao Effect.
Hello, welcome.
Can you give us a bit of background into the Polish National Radio Symphony Orchestra first?
Well, I mean, as the radio orchestra, we were created in the 30s. I would say the majority of radio orchestras in Europe, that was the time when they were, you know, popping up between, you know, in the 30s. And what was interesting, it was that at that time, the orchestras were using new technology as a radio to popularize music. So we were created in 1935. And originally, our home was actually in Warsaw. So in Katowice, we came to Katowice after the Second World War. And because that was the only place when the recording studio wasn't destroyed. So that's why the orchestra changed the place to Katowice after the Second World War and created as a, you know, as a new home. And since that, we in Katowice.
And tell us a bit about why the new concert hall was built in 2014, that there was a bigger push in the 2000s and the 2010s over the last 20 years to give Katowice a new sort of cultural makeover.
Yeah, I mean, it was actually a very good time because, you know, Poland joined the European Union. So we were able to tap into the structural funding. So there was one reason to have this financial stability to be able to think about building. But of course, another reason was that the idea of the strategy for Katowice, for development, was very strongly based on developing the culture side of Katowice. Historically, I think when you're thinking about Silesia, that's the kind of region where Katowice is based, was, to be honest, always connected and with music, because you had so many the orchestras which were wind orchestras or brass orchestras, which were linked with the mine industry. So I think that's the reason. I'm still thinking that's still the reason why, for example, we can't complain about the public. We always have public coming. And when you're thinking that the new concert hall, it's for 1,800 seats. The previous one, the old concert hall for Katowice, had only 600. So I think that was quite brave to think that you can double the size of the concert hall, and that you will have, you know, the public interest. But that's what happened. So we doubled the seats. And still, we can't complain about the audience. We have, well, they're just brilliant. They just want to come and enjoy. So I think that's for the city, that was a very strategic move to start investing in culture. But I think, as I said, based on the tradition and some also like the history of the place.
Mm-hmm. So you're saying there's a legacy that already existed pre. Yes. Pre-regeneration efforts in the early 2000s when Poland joined the European Union, but it just went bigger. You basically knocked down the old concert hall, rebuilt a new one with over double the capacity in the anticipation that many more would come, not only from around Poland, but also presumably from around Europe.
Well, we didn't have to knock out the old concert hall. This concert hall is still there. But what we had to destroy it was actually the coal mine. Because
right.
The concert hall was built on the even in the 50s was still there, the coal mine factory.
And so, yeah, can you give our listeners a sense of the concert hall's location then? It's in a rather unusual location for a concert hall, as you've just alluded to. It's on a former coal mining site. And it's also, as I mentioned in my introduction, in a new cultural zone next to the Silesian Museum.
Yeah, to be honest, for somebody who doesn't know Katowice, if you would say that we were used the size of old coal mine factory, you would think that we were somewhere outside of the center. But actually, we are in the center. So in that respect, which is mind-blowing a little bit if you think about that, yeah, in previous years, in the past, the coal mine factory was actually very close to the center. You can walk from the concert hall in 15 minutes and you will be on the train station. So actually you're still in the center. So we feel like part of the city, very close to the city. And what you've mentioned already, we part of the, we call this culture zone. So next to us is the museum, the Silesian Museum, also built in pretty much the same time, very modern. And on the other side we have the conference center, also a new one. And we have the Spodek, which is a big. It's been used for the concert halls. The capacity is 5,000, but that's the kind of
the sports stadium, right? It's also primarily.
It's not the sports stadium, but it could be used sometimes for the sport because it's very round and it's for 5,000. So it's been used for sports events, sometimes for music events. And that's the kind of that was built, I think, after the Second World War. So kind of old, modern building. And so right now we in this small space, if you actually think, and you have the most important cultural institution of Katowice, we each other. We're almost like a sort of family of culture, which is very good actually, because. Together, it makes us stronger. So, for example, if you have a conference, as you mentioned about all these international events, so you have the conference time and the evening, you would come to and have a concert in our hall, or you would go to the museum and you will see, you know, whatever you want to find out about what's happening in modern art right now. So it's like the synergy effect. The synergy effect works very well in our advance.
Mm-hmm. Does it have the adverse effect also of, I don't know, creating a kind of culture zone where culture is only relegated to one zone in the city?
So it could have been like that, but on the other hand, very close to us, you've got the car park, big car park. So what's happening? People are using this car park for the city because you can't park, you can't find the car park spaces that easy. So what we are actually now thinking about is how we can hold on to those users of cars which are already close to us, and how we can kind of bring them, inform them more about what's happening in our institutions, to avoid the situation, as you said, that we are like an island and nobody is coming in.
And what is the experience of both national and international visitors when they come to this culture zone? Is it unusual for them to, from standing in a former coal mine, engaging with classical music or with modern art. What have the reactions been?
I think in the past, Katowice wasn't the cultural tourist destination. Or wasn't that obvious, unless you wanted to find out something about coal industry. So I think it's been, the change is happening for the last 15 years, that suddenly, even it's happening in Poland. I mean, for my last 8 years, I was living in Warsaw, which is the capital of Poland. And from me, from the outsider, when I was thinking about Katowice, straight away, I was thinking about the cultural events happening there. So what they managed to achieve, it's not that you were thinking, okay, it's pollution, it's the coal industry, it's just this image of Katowice is gone now. But that was the first thought in your mind, probably, 20, 30 years ago, that you wouldn't like to go to Katowice because, or don't go in wearing something white because you will come back being gray. So I think talking about the, Bilbao effect, you can see in the last few years that, that has changed people's perception. That you think Katowice, you think something exciting is going to happen on the culture side.
And within that framework, do you think that music is the most important or the most obvious? It's known as the city of music in Poland and in Polish. Is music and classical music, therefore, the most important aspect of this cultural regeneration?
I think that was the good start. As I mentioned already, I'm not from Katowice originally. So I can, whatever I'm saying, I'm also now talking for the outsider who is living for the last few years in Katowice. So in my opinion, to put the stress or to start from building on the tradition, on the kind of music tradition they had as a region, that was a very, very clever idea. So therefore, that was the very good beginning. And now you can see other things happening. And so it's not just music, you've got other events happening. And but of course, music is very, very strong because it started. So coming back to your question, music is strong because you have very, very important festivals as well happening. But now you can expand, and that's what they're doing, which is great.
Expanding both into art or into other sport or other forms of...
Yeah, I mean, you're expanding on the other arts form, you're expanding on sport, you're expanding even on the tourism, not that only as a culture tourism, because now you can go and to see the old mine. So this is still kind of culture tourism. But you can really build on the foundation and the reputation, because I think it's also very important that NOSP is not a concert hall. It's actually a very good concert hall. So the quality, and actually this region is in Poland, we would say that we would have this connotation that people from Silesia, that they will pay attention to details. And the quality is almost like, engraved in the psycho.
Oh, really?
So that's the reason why they built one of, the best concert halls now in Europe. And it's not just the best in Poland, it's actually really the standard, the quality goes beyond Poland. So I think that was also, it's very important. It's not just regionally good, it's internationally good.
And if we zoom out a little bit and incorporate some of what I was explaining earlier about the economic regeneration that happened in the mid-1990s, do you think it's fair to say that that happened first and then the cultural regeneration happened afterwards, that one gave way to the other?
In Katowice, well...
There's a sort of reformulation of the idea of it being a coal-heavy industry city. First, the coal mines are closed. Car manufacturers come in, and then later there's this sort of a softer push in terms of giving it sort of 21st century credibility.
Yeah, of course it was the first you were kind of the maybe not even the idea, things were happening that old realization that we will be closing, and they were closing from 80s, 90s. But I think what Katowice did really well, and the reason why they almost like gain in this kind of the front runners they are right now, is because that wasn't the moment when it was really bad, and you know, the people were losing jobs, and they never reached that moment, and they just, when things were, they were, it was obvious that, you know, the landscape is changing and you have to come up with new idea, they were quick enough to jump on this wagon, and start changing. And I wouldn't say that that's the kind of, not that many cities have done that way. And I think that's why Katowice, if you're comparing with other cities, which maybe sometimes the start was easier, they right now, Katowice still front runner. They've managed to jump and change themselves through culture, but also because they were quick in thinking and finding the right spot and put the all, you know, energy and strategy on culture.
Mm-hmm. And on legacy.
And the legacy, yeah.
And so what has the impact been for the people of Katowice and perhaps of the surrounding region? Specifically with the cultural regeneration and NOSP, or the Polish National Radio Symphony Orchestra?
Well, I think that, that for example, about people are still staying in Katowice, that even nearby we've got other cities, and to and when you're seeing the numbers of young people, you know, going to bigger cities, and Katowice still managed to hold on to the creativity. And there's I think it's Katowice as a city is still attractive enough, so people are not going, or young, especially young, they're not going to Kraków, they're not going to Wrocław or Warsaw. They will stay because they see still as an opportunity and possibility for their development. And, you know, I came to Katowice from Warsaw, and before Warsaw I was living in London. And when I came to Warsaw, I was always saying that I feel that Warsaw still got this energy to find a new, to reborn again, to be reborn and to create themselves in a, you know, differently. But from Wrocław, from Warsaw coming to Katowice, I would say the Katowice is even faster. That almost like things which now I would say, well, in Warsaw it will take time, it will take years before you will develop something. In Katowice, well, everything is possible because they have this hunger to try new things, and for me, you know, it was as an outsider, I was surprised to feel this energy.
Can you give some examples of that concretely of how you can say that the transformation in Katowice has been much faster than Warsaw over the past 8 years or so?
I think even when you think about the festivals, so for example, very a big festival, outdoor festival, which is happening in Katowice, which is called Off Festival. It was actually in a different city, yeah, and the other city couldn't carry on with funding the festival, and Katowice was the first one saying, "Well, okay, come to us. We can take the festival." And now if you think about, you know, the music scene, the kind of experimental music scene, it's all festival. Well, it's Katowice. And originally it wasn't created in Katowice. So I think that finding the opportunity, and as I said, kind of quickly making the decision and sometimes risky decision, because even if you coming back to building to making the decision, okay, the concert hall is going to be built. It wasn't that obvious. It was the risk, and but it was taken. It was taken by the you know, the mayor at that time of the city. That okay, we have. Apparently, he said that. I don't know whether that's true, but apparently he said we have good roads right now. So now we have to have the places where we can use these roads for.
And for international visitors, have you also seen a marked increase?
Yeah, it's again, we're very close to Kraków, as you already mentioned. There's 45 minutes drive, and Kraków is an obvious destination for tourists. But now I think again, the last few years it's changing that you come into Kraków and you want to find something more quirky, more interesting, or not that obvious. You would go to Katowice, and you will go either to see what's happening in NOSP, or you will go to see the kind of old mine or sea surroundings, which is actually a very green area. That's another thing which you would not think about if you're thinking about Katowice. That is actually very green.
And essentially, it's become a kind of quirky, more interesting option for people that otherwise are going to the beautiful chocolate box streets of Kraków.
Yeah, and we all now searching for something special. We're almost like we're so used to. Depends, I guess. But yeah, if you're looking for something special, that's Katowice for you.
What do you think the main differences are between establishing a music venue and a visual arts venue when we talk about cultural regeneration? On this podcast, we've discussed at great length with directors of museums, mm-hmm. of arts museums, and there are obvious things that we first think about with art museums. You have this wonderful deconstructivist building that arrives in a post-industrial city like Bilbao, for instance. You also have the elitism problem of contemporary art and many other problems perhaps as well in terms of what an arts institution might mean. What are the differences between that and establishing a concert hall, do you think?
To be honest, sometimes we as a music, to build a concert hall, you might face exactly the same problems that you've already described about museums. But you know what I found very interesting in Katowice? That, when it comes to the building outside, you just think it's another brick, which for me, I think it's, again, you're just telling you, well, you're in Silesia. It's like, bricks, they're using many bricks. But suddenly you're getting inside, and inside you have a completely different... You're changing your perception, that suddenly you feel like you're almost like in a museum. Everything is just so beautiful and so simple. And what I always thought about cultural institutions, it's like that they open for everybody. You should kind of come in and you can dress as you wish. And you should just enjoy the art. And what I was taught in Katowice is that you have to treat the thing with respect. So I had a massive discussion with one of the members of the public who was telling me that when you're coming to concert hall, you need to dress up. You can't just come wearing jeans. So in their psycho, it's still like they're thinking that it's such a special place that you still have to treat it like, I don't know, you have to dress up, and which... in the UK, in London, for example, you have 5 minutes and you will just go to see something, and well, it doesn't really matter what you dress and how you look. And I found this very endearing, because on one hand, yes, as a director of the concert hall, I want to invite everybody, and now I feel as if I have to not. That now I had to in my head to think about, okay, so what they're expecting from this place, and they do expect that this is a special place, almost like a sanctuary, they're like the church, you're going there and something special, and at the same time thinking about new generation and that there is a different place, and that you have, so it's tricky. I'm not saying I don't know whether I'm answering this question, but I would say that Katowice is still the kind of the psycho of the community, it's different.
You're saying that there's on the one hand, there's the legacy factor, which also means that we're talking about an older person, I imagine, who says that one should dress up in order to come to a classical music concert. And on the other hand, what does this mean for the younger people that are, as you already mentioned, are staying in Katowice, are not going elsewhere?
Because there's something
interesting there. So you're saying you have two different audience bases, and that is the main problem.
It is the challenge. I mean, I'm sure that any director would say that we all have the same challenge. But for some reason, I think that actually in Katowice, the polarization is bigger in that respect. But they all feel like it's their home. And as an anecdote, once we had an event for this young generation, like the kind of festival, and we also used the hall for the Baroque music concerts. And we just saw those two groups and almost like felt, this is our place. No, this is our place. And there was a conflict, but you from that moment, we started thinking how to find the language for that we not isolating in a group, but we will make them feel, we're giving them what they really want from that place and something more. So, for example, for somebody who expects that this is this kind of special day for him, he wants to dress really well and feel like, you know, everything is special. We're giving this. But for others who just want to enjoy a great space, and that's what we're actually working on this as well, that you feel it's friendly. You can go in. It's your place, and you can use the bike and park the bike close by, and you can get in. So we're working on that. And I think with the differences, and maybe that's maybe one thing which is a little bit easier for us, because with music, you can in a week time you can change from classical music to pop music to all sorts of music. With museum, well, you're not changing the exhibition so often. So in that respect, for me, it's easier to still trying to work on the different tastes, different needs, and still keep them under one roof, which is nice.
Can you give us a sense of or a taste of the programming then that NOSP has to offer, say, this year?
Yeah, as I said, NOSP is the home for the orchestra. So that's like that for us. It's a kind of the heart which is there. So of course, the classical music series are very important, and we have three series. But in addition, we have jazz. We're inviting all the international orchestras, international ensembles. We have traditional music. We have electronic music. We have contemporary music. So once we try to think how to describe what we do and do, can we have what is the kind of one point which you would say you could find in each of those styles. We came up with the phrase that basically is a kind of creativity, but with the quality. So we're looking. So even when we want to invite somebody, there will be two things we will be looking at: creativity and quality. And if you have that, well, that's when we, you know, you're welcome.
And what about the pandemic then? How has the pandemic forced you to change the way that you tailor experiences to different people?
You know, with pandemic, of course, we're all suffering, and this is really a massive disaster for all of us. But on the other hand, I think that maybe we've been forced to discover, I call this like a different door. And in my mind, I'm linking it with the beginning of the radio orchestra, that when we were created, we also used technology, radio at that time. So maybe now with the internet and everything what can be given through websites and this medium internet, maybe this is like another way we can almost like we can add to the experience. And of course, it's what I'm not saying is that you can replace it, because it's, if you know what concert hall is like and what you can what's like to be during the live event, it's not the same. But you can add something more. So I think that the internet, in that respect, I'm not I want to use that medium. I'm not thinking like, okay, COVID is gone and hopefully will be gone soon. And we will forget what we've done during this almost now 2 years. I'm thinking like, okay, fine. And we might discover something more, because at the same time, I'm thinking about new audience. And of course, that's always be thinking, okay, so how we can expand and find new lovers of classical, of music and the arts. I'm thinking that's, for some people who've never discovered live concerts, for these last 2 years, they almost like they were not able to create it, this need for going there. So, but we all been using, you know, computers in such extent that maybe that's why I'm calling this the new door. Maybe we found a new door for this new public, and through that door, we will be able to bring them to NOSP in the future.
A new broadcasting door, basically, a new door through which to broadcast.
Maybe. Yeah, but
in a way, you know, in the way that you said in the 30s, that's what radio orchestras were used for.
Yeah.
Can you tell us a bit about the what you released or what you've been working on with IBM and artificial intelligence then?
Yeah, that's such a good example because I don't think you can just simply do streaming and that's exactly the same thing, almost like a one-to-one. You've got concert hall and next you're streaming and you're watching it because our attention span when we're watching things through the computer is different. We can see that it all depends on the program. It's different. So you will have to think about, okay, so again, what the needs are and how to change that. And one of the ideas we had actually before the pandemic as a side project to the festival, about Science and Music Festival, was about using the artificial intelligence to talk about classical music. It's almost like, you know, we have Siri in computer. So you're asking questions. Normally you would have been too afraid to ask, or maybe, you know, you don't want to feel like, oh, maybe you should have known that. And so you won't ask. So we thought, okay, so maybe, you know, classical music Siri would be interesting proposition. And we thought about as, you know, like the side project, a fun project, but pandemia came and that was suddenly the side project started growing and that was the only project we made. And it was actually it was a fantastic experience for us and also for the public. And we've managed to tap to different groups or groups we've never had contact or which we've never had contact with classical music. And we asked them to generate questions. So, for example, there was a minimum 10 questions they had to think about. Apparently, scientifically, you know, first three, four questions are always the same for all of us. But after four, we have to start thinking what we would like to ask about. So we generated 9,000 questions. And so next we had to work on the answers. And of course, the way we were thinking about answering was also to find the language, which is, you know, funny, which is kind of normal. It's almost like you can talk about something which is very complex, but in a way everybody can understand. So we wanted to treat the whoever was on the other side to give them the knowledge, but at the same time, you know, feel like, okay, it's like a normal conversation we have. I'm going to explain this to you. So that's what we did with IBM, Fujitsu, and we had other partners. And was very successful, got many awards. So now we're thinking how we can use it actually as a tool for schools, because maybe we're just thinking that maybe this, as I said, is just using the internet, but you can create very interesting ways of, you know, sending them the message and to get people
engaging
about music. Yeah.
And so the side project becomes the main project and becomes the sort of project to take NOSP into the future.
Well, in pandemic, I think what we've learned is that you never ending the place when you thought you would. So.
Yeah, absolutely. Eva Borgesmoor, it's been an absolute pleasure speaking with you. Thanks very much.
Thank you. Thanks.
If you've enjoyed this episode, please don't forget to subscribe to FDI Podcast, which you can find wherever you get your podcasts. I hope you can join us next week when we head to Reykjavik to speak with the Harper Concert Hall director, Svanhilde Konradsdottir, about the financial crash and how the concert hall went from being an object of resentment to an object of pride.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.